You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Hurt you. Rick Astley's a good one. I don't know how bright he shined, but this was his only hit.
Well,
there's
a double meaning for this. Obviously, you're never going to give up on the Sixers.
Oh, and a short peak.
And he also took over YouTube for those, 2 years in the middle 2000s?
Yes.
Every video you clicked on, it was
getting Rickrolled.
Rick Astley.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, you were too busy playing in the NFL. I was in elementary school, so it was a big deal.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. The Mark's half-off event is going on now. Get a jump on the holiday shopping season for half-off. Get all the details at marks-jewelers.com. Are you ready to throw in the towel on the Joel Embiid era of the Sixers, or do you still have hope? That is the question. Throw in the towel or still have hope?
On opening night, by the way.
Ike, what do you think the response is to this? Ready to throw in the towel on the Embiid era or still have hope?
Oh, they're ready to throw in the towel, brother.
What do you think the percentages are?
70%.
57%.
Okay. Not bad. Almost 50-50.
Yeah.
You expect it to be worse or better?
I don't know. I just know that, boy, throwing in the towel on a guy that's won an MVP, it was runner-up twice. I get it. I understand it. But it really gives you a peek into the frustration and mindset of where people are.
That's exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yes. I know exactly what you mean.
215-592-9494. Noel in Boston. You're on WIP. What's up, Noel?
How you doing, guys?
What up, Noel?
On my way back down to Philly. Last time I talked to you, I was on my way to Boston from Philly. So, Spike, I think I'm in the camp of throwing in the towel and only because I think it's time that the focus of this team shift towards Maxi. We've had 10 years of Joel, and when he's healthy and he's at the top of his game, he's great. But 10 years and we've never gotten past the second round, I'm tired of the flopping, looking for calls from referees. I just don't think he has that Jordan gene, that Kobe gene, that LeBron gene. He doesn't have that. If he did, he'd dedicate himself in the offseason to getting in shape. I mean, look what AJ did this offseason. He's top five, maybe top three in his position in the NFL, and he worked his ass off in the offseason to get faster, to be better. And we haven't seen Joel do that. I mean, if it hasn't happened by now, it's not going to happen. And I don't think his knees are strong enough for him to make that leap now.
Let me ask you this, Noel, with all due respect to your position, and I get it. Can you think of a couple NBA teams who have won championships building around a 6 foot guard?
No,
it's only one.
Yeah, maybe build,
he's 6'3".
Maybe building around is wrong, but I don't think Embiid is going to be the. I just don't think it's going to happen with him, and that's the only reason why I'm saying give up because.
I think my thing though, Noel, is it's not going to happen without him either. Is that the small chance that it happens with him is better to me than the chance that it happens without him, because
I agree with you there.
Because if you trade him, then you need another top 7 player in the NBA to replace him.
At minimum.
Yeah, and I don't know where that's coming from. Unless it comes from the draft or something, and which means we're waiting again, right? We're going through another. And I remember what people were like during the rebuilding era of the Sixers. And my fear is that if you do the thing with Maxi, the thing that you're talking about, we end up a lot closer to the 2011 Sixers than you would imagine. You know, the 2011 Sixers who won 43 games or whatever they won,
right.
44 games, and we're stuck in this middle ground for however long we are.
Yeah, what we used to call it, we used to call it purgatory.
Purgatory.
Purgatory,
yes.
Yeah.
Purgatory.
Yeah.
No, purgatory. But no, what, so what do you guys think, though, is, I mean, not playing against Milwaukee on opening night, if there's nothing wrong with him, I mean, if he's not going to play the first three games, if Boston wins three, Milwaukee wins their first three, then we're fighting an uphill battle all the way. And let's face it, we're not beating Boston. Boston plays the way they played last night. We're not beating Boston. So, I mean, so now we're into next year.
Well, but hold on. But, Noel, everybody does that. Everyone said nobody was going to beat Golden State, and Golden State lost to Cleveland, and then Golden State lost in Toronto. Last year, everybody said nobody was beating Denver, and Denver didn't even get to the finals. And we're all saying nobody's
stuff
beating...
Stuff happens, you're right.
Yeah. We're all saying nobody's beating Boston. A month before nobody was going to beat Boston, everybody just expected Boston to choke. So there haven't been a lot... There haven't been a lot of repeat champions in the NBA over the last 15 years. It's really just been the Warriors. So I understand all that you're saying. I'm not giving the title to Boston. Boston's awesome. But
they're like a bigger version of the Warriors.
Yes. Without a Steph. They don't have a Steph.
Right. They don't even need it because I think they got more shooters than the Warriors had.
Yeah. They're pretty intimidating when they're hitting shots, even when they're not hitting shots. Noel, give us somebody whose star burned very short but very bright.
All right. I don't know if I have his name right, but Jason Lynn, shooting guard for the Knicks.
It's close.
Very close. Jeremy Lin.
Yes,
Jeremy Lin. Yes. Jeremy Lin. Had that hot season.
Yes.
Shot the lights out. Got himself a big contract and never heard from him.
Yeah. Yep. Insanity.
Yeah, he ended up on the Rockets with Maury. Maury ended up stealing him away. Yep. And the Knicks got rid of him because Carmelo didn't like that somebody else was famous. Yeah. Linsanity was one of the coolest basketball moments of my whole life. I loved the Linsanity moment.
It was a great story. We went to Yale. Where did he go?
Harvard. He went to Harvard.
Harvard, yeah. I knew he was an Ivy League kid. Two things. The Dodgers won the World Series in 81.
We
got to make sure we put this stuff back out there, man.
Get it back out there,
Thank you for everybody that tweeted us that the Dodgers did win the series in 81 over the Yankees. By the way, I'm picking the Dodgers to win this series. Again.
Okay.
Picking the Dodgers to win the World Series. What else was I going to say?
We got the Macaulay Culkin thing out of the way.
No, it was something on basketball. I forgot it.
I don't know. Jeremy Lin?
Well, he did torch Kobe.
He did.
Nobody torches Kobe.
It was that game and the Raptors game. No. Those two games, those two wins were awesome. He torched Kobe.
Man, nobody torches Kobe, man.
Kind of torched Kobe. No disrespect.
Well, I mean, he scored.
Yeah.
He scored. You got to get happy.
It's all good.
No disrespect.
That was awesome. I watched, there's a Jeremy Lin short, 30 for 30.
Oh, yeah.
And just reliving that because I remember where I was when I watched those games. I don't know. He was like, Nick Foles is like if Jeremy Lin won a championship. It's like kind of like what Nick Foles is like, is that he did his stuff in the playoffs rather than in the regular season.
It was New York, and they pumped it up.
They did.
Because if he had been in another city, that would not have been as big of a deal.
No, and he had the perfect coach at the time.
Who was the coach?
It was Mike D'Antoni.
Oh, that's right, it was. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I know what I was going to say.
What?
You brought up Melo.
Yes.
The Nuggets.
Yes.
It did Melo wrong by giving his number away to Jokic.
Jokic wears Melo's number?
Yeah. And that's why Melo, they can't retire.
Well, but Melo.
I know he wanted out.
Did the organization wrong.
I get that. Okay. I understand that. I'm just saying, but you don't give away his number immediately unless.
Yes.
Just like the Giants gave away Saquon's number immediately. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Organizations do that when they're trying to be like, okay, you want it out of here.
Yeah, I want to make a point. Yeah,
in fairness, Melo, you can't be crying about it now, bro.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, is he crying about it?
Oh, yeah. He's.
Come on, man. That's on you.
Yeah, I thought about that when you said Melo with the Knicks,
Todd in Mount Laurel, you're on WIP. What's up, Todd?
What's up, Mike? What's up, guys? Spike, everybody.
What up, Todd?
I got to disagree, man. It's time to cut and burn with Joel. And this is the reason why my rationale, you know, for all the things that Ike, you were saying about, you know, hey, we've tried it, you know, several different ways. We might as well look at trying to sit him and rest him and everything. Mm-hmm. Do you trust Embiid to stay in shape?
No.
And that's
I can't lie about it. Like, no, no.
And that's the catch 22, right? You try to rest him. It takes some time to get ramped back up because he's not staying in shape. if you play him, then it's like you know his body because of the size. And the very things that are his positives of being very athletic at 7'2", I believe actually because his body, especially his knees, aren't able to handle that on a long-term basis is the reason why you got to get rid of him. Because he's never going to be there for you in the long run. And then if you try to sit him and rest him and do all that, you know, managing of his time, right, he doesn't stay in shape. So, you know what I mean? So when you need him, you're gonna get hurt.
Here's what I'm hoping for, Todd. And I'm not – and I knew this coming in today. I'm disarmed. I don't have a lot in the whole defense bucket for Joel Embiid other than the fact – that I love him as a player. I'm a big fan of his. I want to see him win. So all I'm doing, Todd, is hoping that we get a Toronto Raptors year. That's all I can hope for. Like, hell, Kawhi even left Toronto after winning the title. But do you think Toronto cares? Like, they have their world championship.
And by the way, before it happened for Toronto, they kept getting shut down. You know, they choked every year, and they made one. And
they had good teams, and they couldn't get out of the second round.
And it happened. And Todd, understanding everything that you said, I think the other part of getting rid of him is then what do you have? So it's very easy to say it's not going to happen with him. Mm-hmm. What's a lot harder is to say, okay, well, then how are we getting there without him? Because you're essentially starting over. You end up with a team that, if you just take him off the team, let's say you trade him for draft picks, this team wins 44 games, something like that, you know, and you're right there.
By the way, you're trading Paul George in a year.
Yes, because he's not going to want to be here.
He's not going to want to be here either.
So I guess the reason that I want to see it through, Todd, is because in my head, we will know in 2 years whether this is going to work or not work. And I'd rather just spend these 2 years taking a chance on it than taking a chance on something that I have even less confidence in working out.
No, I got you guys. Hey, my two one-hit wonders.
We only take one.
Oh, all right. Then I'll give the people's champion, Freddie Mitchell, 4th and 26.
That's all right. Barely qualifies, I think. But he did have a moment.
First round draft pick.
Yep.
Thank me for my thing. I thank my hands.
Yes.
Right?
I remember that. Yeah, I remember thanking his hands.
Well, and he caught the bomb from Donovan.
In Dallas. Yep.
That's a big moment.
Was it the Minnesota playoff game? He had a good game. He scored a couple touchdowns. That's where he did the whole I want to thank my hands.
Yeah, winner.
Yeah.
God. We will give you Nick Nurse. Well, go ahead. What are you going to say?
No, I was going to say, Freddie. I played golf with Freddie this summer.
How's he doing? All right.
He's around. Yeah. He's here. He's in and out of town.
Yeah.
Freddie Mitchell.
Yeah. I'm sure he likes getting recognized around the area. You know, he's a guy that doesn't mind when the beer is bought for him when he walks into a bar.
And he was short on 4th and 26.
He was short.
We got to get into that with Donovan on Monday.
If there was a replay.
Yeah.
If there's a replay review, he's short.
We will play you what Nick Nurse said about Joel Embiid's injury or non-injury right after I tell you about where you're getting your car. You know where I'm going to tell you to go. I'm going to tell you Colonial Hyundai of Downingtown. It's spooky season. It's October. Halloween's next week. So Colonial Hyundai of Downingtown is going to help you ghost your ride. John Ashdale is the car czar. His staff at Colonial, amazing. They've got a whole lot full of 2024 Hyundais that need to disappear like a ghost in the night. Over 200 on the lot. They got Elantras, Konas, Tucson, Santa Fe, 0% financing for 60 months. And good that piece of junk you're driving now, if it is a piece of junk, don't worry about what you're going to get in trade because they're going to give you $6,500.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Guaranteed no matter what condition it's in. I don't care if you have to push it over to Colonial. And when you drive away with those one of those new 2024 Hyundais, you're going to get Hyundai Assurance and America's Best Warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Ghost your ride. Get a new car over at Colonial. Online 24-7, ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. So Nick Nurse looked visibly irritated answering these questions. He should call Brett Brown and learn how to repeatedly answer questions you either don't want to answer or don't have the answer for. Here's what he said regarding Embiid.
Nick, I think to that point, when people hear you guys have a plan, they think of those things like not playing back-to-backs, resting into the middle of the season. But without any kind of setback, and we're saying he's on schedule throughout the preseason, how do we square that he's not ready to just play games? Just trying to figure out. Because it's not like the regular season opener snuck up on you guys.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to you, right? He's in practice. He's looking good. He's progressing. He's not quite ready yet. He'll be ready pretty soon. I don't know what else to say to you. Okay?
Well, I mean the thing that he sounded frustrated. So some people have said that it sounds like he's hiding something. To me, it sounds like the thing that he's hiding is they knew this 2 weeks ago and they didn't say anything.
Right.
I mean, because I think the real answer is we've known for a while he wasn't going to be ready in time. He's not scrimmaging. He's not playing preseason games. We did everything but say it, which they should have done. They should have just said it. He just sounds irritated because he doesn't have an answer about when he's going to play. And it's true. The opening game did not sneak up on them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's – I know some people think they're hiding an injury. I don't think they're hiding an injury. I've been wrong before, but I don't think that's what it is. I think they just made a mistake in telling people where he was actually at. Made a mistake in where he was at, in knowing, mm-hmm. made a mistake in being clear about it.
So, okay. They've also made a mistake in anticipating people's interest in this and their reaction to it.
Yep.
Because to not have some sort of stocked answer, knowing that this question was going to come up today, I'm a little surprised. Like, that made it worse, quite frankly. Like, that made it worse, not having an answer for what this is all about, and just having something there that you can be like, hey, this is what, he's not, Nick is catching a stray here. It's not Nick Sirianni.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
he's a good talker.
Come on, man. Yeah, he's won a championship. He's been in front of the media. He knows how to answer questions. When
poor thing, sir.
I know, man, my bad, coach. I didn't even mean to do that. I couldn't give out.
I make taco soup sometimes for my family.
Man. See, that's what it opens you up for. Stupid stuff like that. You have to admit, though, Spike, with that, when it's harder to explain something, it means you're hiding something.
Yeah.
Right? I always say, and I'm not saying he's lying, I always say, though, if something doesn't make sense to me, then it's not true. It can't be true. Like, even if I don't like what I'm hearing, it would at least make sense to me why it's happening.
With all due respect to the PR team at the Sixers and the media team at the Sixers, who have always been the nice people, and I think part of it is Joel's fault, in that I don't think Joel wants information out about his injuries. I think all the times where we've not known he's going to play, I don't think they were always prepared for that. All that said, this one is a layup. You said it correctly. First, you needed to say something a couple weeks ago. You didn't. Okay, screwed that up, weren't allowed to. To send out a text message like they sent out, Joel Embiid is not only not going to play tomorrow or Wednesday, tonight, he's not going to play throughout the rest of the week. They have to be prepared for those answers.
Yeah.
They have to be prepared for why didn't you tell us before? They have to be prepared for did he re-injure himself? Mm-hmm. They have to be prepared for all of those things.
Yes.
And they just seem completely shocked every time it happens. And I almost, when I say publicly, I think I tweeted last week, if Joel is not going to play in the opener, which I didn't think he was, mm-hmm. the Sixers should get ahead of this and say something. I almost am trying to tell them without...
Oh, believe me. I know what that's like.
Yes, without telling them how to do their jobs
right.
directly.
Yes.
I'm already... If anybody knows how Sixers fans are going to react to stuff, it is me. Mm-hmm. I know. And I almost trying to tell them, guys, this... I know you're going to tell everybody the day before the game, and it's going to make everybody think that you're lying, and that's exactly what they did.
And the worst thing is the whole, they hit it because they want to sell tickets tonight.
If that's the reason,
like that's the worst. You can't do that to this fan base, man.
No. And
this is a loyal fan base to that team.
And in the end, you're going to hurt yourself selling tickets to whatever the next game is.
Yep.
Because you've made everybody mad, mm-hmm. and now people who bought tickets for tonight, which if they had known 2 weeks ago, it could have... Now, if you tell them 2 weeks ago, somebody who bought tickets is not going to get as much to sell them. That's a whole other problem. Mm-hmm. But doing it to people the day before when you knew in advance is stupid. It's just like... It's disrespectful to the fans. It is tone deaf. It with all we've all been through with this particular franchise and this particular player with injury stuff, you just had to know how people were going to react.
Yeah.
And him not being prepared for it is also a mistake. He has to be prepared for it. Even if he gives you a prepared statement and says,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you once. I'm not going to take any more questions on it. Here's where he is. Here's where we knew he was. And here's when we think he might play. So, Andy in Westchester, you're on WIP. What's up, Andy?
Hello.
Hello.
Make sure I'm following the rules.
Oh, all three of us then.
What's up, Andy?
So, yes, hello to all three of us.
Okay, all right, sounds good.
So you mentioned, actually, before we get into Joel, you mentioned you're going to do Insider of the Year. And I hear callers, I pretty much listen all day. It's like, you know, Dominic, Drew, all these different guys, me calling from Westchester. How about 2025 Jack Fritz Insider of the Year?
I like this.
What is he going to do?
Eagles Insider of the Year?
No, Jack Fritz Insider of the Year in Westchester.
Oh, you want to be
a Jack Fritz Insider. He's going to...
Oh.
This is kind of terrifying.
Yeah, what do you have?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Well, 2025, let's get on it.
He's saying he's out there in Westchester.
Yes.
He's about to start following Jack.
Oh, awesome.
You got all sorts of people out here.
Well, Jack...
I got feelers everywhere.
Yeah, listen, I was outside with Walker the other day. I was at my house, and, you know, they love the show.
Yeah.
It's like...
What you got to realize, great. Jack, one thing I've learned over the years is that, and Ike's been in the same neighborhood for a long time, so knows, I assume you know
yes.
most of your neighbors.
Mm-hmm. And he's bought off local politicians.
Yes, he has bought off local politicians. What I've learned in the neighborhoods that I've lived in is that even if you don't talk to the people in the neighborhood, they know.
Oh, yes.
So,
yes.
Jack, all the people that live around you, not everyone of them, they know who you are.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you got to
be
careful.
You got the big Jack Fritz on your mailbox.
Yeah, yeah. Or it's a big, like, hey, you know he's down the street. It's no big deal. Listen, when you're the king of Westchester, it's not that big of a deal. That's why I moved back there. Big fish in a little pond.
Yeah. Jack wants privacy, but he put out the High Hopes podcast logo on his mailbox.
That one is lawn, yes.
Jack
got a J and the F on his lawn.
Yeah, he's like Beetlejuice. It just says Jack Fritz lives here with neon sign above the house. Andy, how are you feeling about Joel? You want to see it through, or do you want to give up?
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of the idiots that actually watched through the process. So yeah, I got to see it through. I'm wondering this whole thing that's going on. I was thinking about it, and I'm wondering if they're holding him back because they want to run him out with Paul George for the first time. They don't want to send him out separately.
No. That's not.
Well, I hope that's not the case because that could be another week or two.
Yeah, that's not it. I truly maybe I'm dumb. I truly believe they just don't think he is physically where they want him to be to start the season. And everyone says, well, he played the Olympics. Playing in the Olympics for 2 weeks while you're playing 15 minutes a game is just a different thing than going into the grind of an NBA season. And if he didn't hurt himself in the Olympics, let's say he didn't, I do think it's possible, and this is a fine pushback against the Olympics, I do think it's possible that after the Olympics, he needed weeks to rest after putting his knee through that without rehabbing the way that you would rehab for a season. Because he wanted to play badly.
Yeah.
And we had, you know, Chuck was saying yesterday he's selfish for it. I still don't have a problem with him playing in the Olympics, but it is what it is. Andy, give us somebody whose star shined very bright but very short.
Okay, I'm not sure that I'm right on this because I was young, but it seems like it. What about Spud Webb?
It was a moment.
Yeah, here's why I think it's a good answer. Now, Spud Webb had a career.
He did.
But his peak was the dunk contest.
Yes.
So, and that's when he sort of jumped into the national spotlight and became somewhat of a little hero for all the 5 foot, the under 6 foot guys.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, when we say short peak, we're not talking about their physical appearance.
No.
Right?
No.
Okay.
No. It just fits with him.
Yes.
Yes. Because he was, I think Spud was 5'7".
He was little.
Yeah, I think he was 5'7". But
it's like
yeah.
Kevin Marks out there trying to.
The dunk contest was the height of his career.
And that's when the dunk contest was something.
Oh, yeah.
It made stars.
Yeah.
You remember?
80s? Oh, yeah.
D. Brown in the 90s?
Yes,
remember?
Sir.
D. Brown
early
had
90s.
A moment, had those pumps.
Yeah.
Remember he pumped up the shoes before he dunked it? D.
You
Brown.
Bet fraud Nate Robinson, who stole the.
Stole it from. From Iguodala.
Shout out to Nate and everything
he's
going through. But
he's sick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jackson.
A couple things he should not be remembered for.
Yeah.
Those dunk contests.
No.
And boxing.
Yeah.
Yes. Was not a great boxer.
Didn't know he was sick. I was mad about the.
No,
the dunk
it's okay. We get it. No, it's we get it. Yeah, yeah.
He still sold it.
Yeah, exactly. Still didn't deserve to win it.
Sick or not sick, I still don't know how Iguodala dunked that ball running under the backboard from
one
behind
the
backboard.
Dunks,
I've never seen a dunk. That's probably the best. One of the best dunk
contest
dunks I've ever seen.
Oh, it's a top 10 dunk of all
time.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you watch it over and over again. I still don't know how he did it. You know, I don't know how he pulled it off.
Dude, young Iggy, man.
Oh.
Come on, man. I used to battle with Anthony about Iguodala and Thad Young. He loved Thad Young. I was an Iggy guy, man.
That's what made LeBron's chase down block on him so impressive.
Oh, get out of here with that nonsense.
Yeah. All right, coming up next.
And young Iggy, man, was.
He was something
was
else.
Super athletic.
Physically something.
The Flight
else.
Brothers, when they used to throw? Was he the Flight Brothers or was that Larry Hughes?
Larry Hughes.
That was Larry Hughes?
Yeah.
AI throwing it up there to Iguodala, man.
Yeah. But then he had the mistake of having the same initials as Iverson.
Yeah.
And then they traded Iverson.
Yeah, they tried. I'm like, no, he's not.
I'm happy Iggy ended up on the Warriors exactly where he should be, the role he should be, and ended up, you know.
I wish I had time to tell you.
What?
I played golf with Iggy one time.
Yeah.
This is his last year here. This was the year. Remember, he skipped the exit meetings that summer. Well, you're talking about 18 holes and hearing about Doug Collins?
Oh, he hated Doug Collins.
Oh, boy, that was awesome.
Dude, Doug Collins.
That was awesome.
When that team was falling apart, Doug Collins took all the reporters to the side and basically blamed Iguodala to all of the reporters.
Yes.
Just a total.
Yes, he tried to bury
him. He's a loser.
When it was him, it was Doug who needed to be buried, not Iguodala.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, we will continue to talk about Embiid. Do you want to see it through? Are you ready to cut bait with Joel Embiid? And we're going to do, now that we're closing in on the trade deadline, it looks like there's some, you know, there have been some great receivers traded. There are a couple more on the trading block.
Coop!
We're just going to do a little, hey, how did Howie do this offseason? Just look at Howie's offseason moves and the position to put them in now, especially considering the players that are available. We'll talk about that next, too. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app